You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. You know who I am. I'm Sean Mulroney. As always, I am so glad that you have joined us for this podcast. We love you. Thanks for all the support. Thanks for all the kind words, the reviews. You all are awesome. You all make this, you know, podcast, and it's been exciting. Of course, you know, hey, I want you to go to theobesityrevolution.com. It's the program I wish I had, like I said all the time. It's something that it will help you. You can't get to the gym. It gives you modifications so that you can do whatever, you know, kind of workout that you need, because people don't know that, especially if you're morbidly obese. It's, you know, it's for you. It's what I wish. Like I said, you can't get to the gym. We'll bring the gym to you. That's what Brandon has designed, so that we can get where we need to be. And there's nothing out there for people that struggle with morbidly obesity, and it's climate. It's a global pandemic, and you know, we aim to, you know, create awareness and kill the assumptions and you know, the myths that are out there, the prejudices out there, because, you know, like we say, you know, obesity is the last socially acceptable prejudice, and we need to stop that. But I encourage you to go to theobesityrevolution.com. It will help you. Reach out to us. We're there to help you, to give you the guidance that you need. I'm talking anywhere from with lymphedema, if you struggle with that. We have, you know, people and resources and tools that can help you and can change your life. And I know that we don't get the right kind of treatment. The, you know, the medical industry has been dismissive toward us, but we can help you. And I know you all were following me. All, you know, all my social media is at I Am Sean Mulroney. And you all that support and like and comment, whatever. And like as always, just leave us a review at our podcast, whatever, where we're streaming. We stream every platform, from iHeartRadio to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, everywhere. We want you to listen, and we want you to help. And if you have a loved one that's struggling with obesity, have them reach out to us, and we will get them the help that they need. And I just, you know, I wish I would have had something like this. And now it's here. And I'm extremely excited for what the future has for us and for people that have joined. And we are meeting all kinds of people all the time, everywhere. And it's so good that people are joining the Tour VIP program. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of myths out there. And these myths that I want to, you know, talk about first is, you know, the myth about weight loss. Okay, think about this. You know, people say, and I used to think this, you know, skipping a meal is a great way to lose weight. No, that's a myth. That's a lie. And it's all about that myth, is that, you know, we think we need to make sure we're putting fuel, you know, into our furnace. And it's very important that we don't skip meals unless you're doing fast. And there's a whole other way if you're doing it properly and in the right mode. And then the other thing is that, you know, the lower your caloric intake, the greater your weight loss. That's not true. You got to be in a caloric deficit. You got to make sure that you're getting the right calories. And then also, when it comes to weight loss, all fat is bad. No, not all fat is bad. You know, there's avocado, there's olive oil, you know, there's things that you need, and having fat, you know, fat doesn't make us fat. You need that. That's it. That's what our macros, you know, nutrients are. You know, you got your macros, you got your, you know, your carbs, your fats and your proteins, and you need to make that a thing, which is Brandon has always taught us and is teaching us. And I'm learning this, is that, you know, not all fats are bad. And then, you know, during weight loss, desserts and other rich foods are all off the table. And you know what? If you don't learn to do something that's sustainable to you, you're going to go off track. I promise you. And if you're doing something that's, you know, cardboard and water, you're not going to do it. And if you can't do it and track it and take small steps, you're going to go off track and you're not going to make it. I promise you. And then healthy food is too expensive, though. That's a lie, too. You can eat healthy and not be expensive. There's things and ways to do that in budget. And that's what we have on our website. We have that. We have the grocery list. We have the shopping list. We have the meal plan. All of that is for you so that you understand that it's not expensive. And then the last, you know, myth about weight loss is what you eat is more important than what you drink. Now think about this. You need to make sure that you have the water. You need at least a gallon a day. That's what I do. That's what I have. And that's what I strive for. But you need to make sure that you're drinking water. You need to make sure that you're putting and you stay hydrated, or it all comes together. It's putting all these pieces, and don't listen to the myths. You know, don't go out there and say just because so-and-so says it or this and this, get the right thing. That's why I go to Brandon. Brandon, you know, I don't listen to everybody. Everybody wants to say different things, but don't. Just make sure you're accountable to the people that are going to help you and give you the right information. But anyways, I am extremely excited about who we have on today. He's a Tor VIP member, a matter of fact. Just recently joined our program. You know, he's a great guy. I mean, he has a lot of gifts. He's aspiring to be a lot of things to a lot of people. He's a certified life coach. He does a whole lot of things. I mean, he inspired me. And there's a statement that he used that we're going to bring out in this episode of this podcast that is really going to change your life like it did mine. I was just like, wow. You get them wow moments and, you know, you understand it. But anyways, without further ado, I want to introduce my friend, one of our Tor VIP members, Richard Pachenko. Richard, how you doing, man? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm doing well.
Good, man. So, are you having a good day? Are you staying busy?
Yep. I mean, that's a daily routine for me, but yeah, it's been a great day so far.
Well, good for you, man. Well, it's awesome, Richard, is that, you know, the fact is that, you know, you're a Tor VIP member now, so welcome. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you have this program for people like us who need that additional help and that additional support.
Awesome, Richard, man. That's encouraging. And you did some serious research whenever you just didn't say, I'm going to go down. You did something blindly, which I wish everybody would do. What is that you did whenever first got into the point to the program?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's like anybody should be doing the same thing no matter what it is. I mean, you said it yourself earlier that, you know, every time we turn around, there's some kind of magic pill or magic powder or some fast way of doing something. And, you know, you kind of buy into all of this and nothing works. And after a while, you give up. So, but something in my heart called me and said, check this out. So when I went in, not only did I say, well, I'll go ahead and subscribe, and if it's not for me, I can always leave, but I took the time to actually look at all the exercise programs, the meal programs. You know, I'm presently going through the 21-day start, and it gave me a sense of, you know, knowing that this was the right way. And as I told you when we spoke privately, that you inviting me to the support group, I think, put that seal on it, because you know, I've done other support groups, I've done other meetings, and nothing actually resonated with me. Where here, it was a group of peers who truly are working the program, who are ready to give you advice. When I asked my questions, everybody had an answer to at least help me. So to me, that's a true support system. It's not just, hey, look, I've read these books, I've bought these pills, I ate these things.
Yes. You know. Yes. That, see, that's awesome, Richard. So it's like we need support, don't we? I mean, I need support. You know, I need accountability. You know, support structure is vital. I don't, you know, that's what you're saying. I mean, we don't have it, right? I mean, there's not just anything out there for obese people. Am I correct in saying that? Have you struggled with that?
I have, and I definitely, you know, done my research for that, because as you said, you know, if I go to a gym right now, they expect me to perform like, you know, other athletes or other people working out. And I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but at least in my experience, I've had that. I've actually paid up to $125 an hour for a personal trainer. And because of my past, you know, I can get through certain things, but if I'm struggling with my knees that day or something, you know, they push you, like if I was still playing sports or right. still playing whatever, and not realizing that they could be doing more damage. Like I said, not all people are that way, but you definitely want to do your research. And the support, as you said, is most important, because I've been one of those people that felt like I was alone. So I always had to do it myself. But there always comes a time where you need to ask for that help. You need someone to say, hey, Rich, you're doing great. Keep moving, even if it is the small, you know, micro miracles, as they say.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's right on the button. You know, it's like them, if we don't have that, you know, Richard, it's like, you know, we go aimlessly and we feel like, man, I'm not even making any progress. And I feel that, you know, if I strive for, you know, I can't lose, you know, 200-300 pounds overnight, because it didn't come on overnight. And, you know, it's like it's a process. And, you know, the more we look at the process, the more we find out, hey, this is a big mountain to climb. And, you know, and going back to, you know, the beginning, you know, when did it start for you as far as your, you know, obesity? Was it more whenever you were a kid? What have you always struggled with it? When let's go back to your, you know, to the early days.
And I think this actually speaks to the support that we're talking about. You know, I've been a heavy kid all my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, my grandmother was, I was raised by my grandmother, and, you know, when the doctor said, hey, he's, you know, obese for his, you know, height and age, and, you know, I remember the charts the pediatrician pulled out, and again, I'm talking back in the 70s before yes. all the other stuff came out.
Yes.
And, you know, I told her, my grandmother was there, and I remember her with her notebook and making sure I was doing push-ups and exercising yeah. and eating right. And that's, like you said, that's the shift, because when my grandmother, I think it was at the age of 13, ended up passing away with, she had throat cancer. I ended up going back to my mother, and my mother felt that the way to keep me happy was food.
Yeah.
So she would feed me because I was a big kid. Now, just to put it out there, the easiest way to see where I was 308 pounds at the age of 13, wrestling for Fordham Preparatory School.
Right.
So that gives you a kind of sense of where I was. But because my grandmother always instilled that, you know, you keep going, you push, I did things at 350, 450 that most people would be like, I can't even walk down to the store.
Yes.
We've talked about the different things I've done. So, yeah, it has started from a kid. And as, you know, adult comes on, life comes on, you continue to get to that point where by the time I was about 31, you know, I'm looking at 650 pounds, but yet I was still, you know, getting up and traveling. You know, one of the things I've shared with people prior to having the gastric bypass years ago was that when I used to go live in Newark, my job was in Manhattan. And for me to make it to my job in Manhattan without the pain, and even with then it was a lot of pain, I'd literally have to take a bus to Newark Penn Station, Penn Station to a train that took me to a boat that went across into Manhattan, and then take a cab for 5 or 6 blocks to get to my job. And that was a daily routine, backwards and forwards.
How much did you weigh at this time whenever you were doing it?
At that point, I was about 625, 650.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And did you think that your athletics help with that, is because you were an athlete, right? I mean, so do you feel that structure of being an athlete helped you through that at that time?
I definitely do, because again, even as, you know, as I said, at 13, I was 308. So you figure by the time I was 18, I was 4 probably, and I was already, you know, I was doing martial arts. You know, during high school, I did some football, I did some wrestling, I did, you know, other sports. I was, you know, we used to play handball on a constant basis, even as an adult. But it wasn't until I became very sedentary. But because of those other things, you know, somebody, and I think you've said this many a times on, in some of your videos as well, is somebody finally came to me and, you know, I was struggling with my weight. And he's like, Rich, I believe you're as strong as an ox because look at all the things you were doing at this weight.
Yeah.
You know, your legs are carrying you.
Yep.
You know, even at the 650, like I said, even though I had to take multiple ways of transportation and, you know, going to work in the morning, we all know how those buses are crowded. So I'd have to stand at that weight. And I was able to do so and adjust myself if my back was hurting. So I do believe that, you know, the structure of, you know, doing martial arts and that need to succeed, like, you know, and we've talked about the mental game, you know, when your mind keeps telling you, you know, I'm a fat guy and you have people surrounding you going, well, you're a fat guy. Nobody's going to want to hire you. Nobody's going to want to deal with you. You're out to prove.
Yes.
And that was my life. It was proving that I could earn my black belts in martial arts, even at my weight. I remember fighting in a karate tournament at 450 pounds.
Wow.
You know, so it was that proving ground for me. But again, our bodies, though they heal themselves, it takes its toll after a while.
And sure, sure.
You know, at
650. Our bodies aren't made to carry that weight.
Correct.
You know, and so you didn't let your obesity define you.
That's right.
That's incredible. And that's what we have to do is that no matter what weight, it's not good to be there, but to be functional. And that's the point is that, you know, being functional obese, it's whenever we lose that because our joints, our back is not, you know, made to carry this weight. And that's what happened to me. I can really relate to that because I played sports. I played football and baseball in high school and through, you know, elementary, junior high school, all the way up until I was 18 years of age. And I did good. So I think that was my saving grace is that we are, you know, strong because, you know, you have to carry around, you know, 400, 500, 600 pounds. You know what I mean? People say we don't have character. Well, try carrying around that, you know, 400 pounds with you every day extra. And it's a whole thing. But, you know, what would you say the ingredients were to get you to where you were struggling with obesity and high, you know, weight gain? What would you say the ingredients are to get you there?
And again, for me, it's always going to be the mental because I know I suffer from emotional eating. You know, I tend to find comfort when things are stressed.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and I, we used to joke, and we still do sometimes. It's not something that I have to have every day, but she knows if I tell her, hey, on your way home, pick up some ringdings. She goes, oh, it's a ringding type of night. So she knows that it's one of those, I need some type of comfort or I need some type of thing. And I think that's what's going on.
What's a ringding? What's that? What the heck is
it's
a ring?
It's a hostess. It's a, what is it? It's like a devil's food cake with cream in the middle.
Okay. Okay. Is that like a ding dong too or something?
Kind of.
Like
yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure, man. We're like, you know, ringding, ringy ding ding. I'm going to get the ringding.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So anyways, so she says it's a ringding type of night.
Type of night. Right. And it's literally that a lot of, I think because, and again, going back to what I told you earlier with my mother, you know, she, I guess her way of coping of emotionally for me, because again, my grandmother was the one that actually raised me and that was her mother. And, you know, passing away and all that, her thing was, you know, a pile of mashed potatoes and a full steak, you know, and then when you're brought up in that environment of clean your plate, you know, especially in the 70s, you know, people are starving in Africa. People are starving in other countries. You clean your plate no matter how hungry or not hungry you are. And I even find myself doing that sometimes now where I'll try to push away, but there's still that longing of you left something, you know,
right
off the plate.
Right. And that's how we were brought up, too. You know, I mean, you know, the old school type thing is that, you know, clean your plate no matter what. No matter if you're not hungry, you clean your plate. And that's been, you know, it's like, I have no problem with that. You know, give me another plate. I'll clean your plate. You know, that's how it is. So you say like the emotional, did that start out? How old would you say that emotional eating component started out, Richard?
I have to say it happens in my teens because, again, well, you know, I've worked with teens as well in many of my programs, and I usually joke and say that the teen years are the most important because it's the teen trying to be an adult, but at the same time hanging on to his childhood.
Yes, yes.
So you have that roller coaster ride.
Yes.
So you're dealing with the, you know, the high school, and again, going to high school in the 80s now, you know, you're dealing with, you know, the bullying, you're dealing with, you know, the pressure of doing well. And, you know, my grandmother was always one that, you know, she had me strive for straight A's, and now my grandmother wasn't around to keep me accountable. So it's me going, well, she's not here, but I'm going to continue to push myself.
Yes.
To get those grades. Mm-hmm. So you have all this pressure on you, so you start to, you know, eat. And where I was going to high school, I was, you know, in Rockaway Park, so the beach was literally four blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've had, at that time, Rockaway Playland was open, so you had the amusement park there. You had all the pizza and all the stuff around you. So you knew that no matter what was going on, there was something there to get.
Yeah, it was all accessible. I mean, it was like right in our face. I mean, it's like you can't do nothing. And the smell of it, it's like it just led us down a bad path. I mean, it's like, and nobody, see, you think about this, Richard. You know, people say, well, how did you let yourself get that way? Well, it's not as simple. You know, feet, we just didn't say, I'm going to eat and gorge myself with 10,000 calories and here I am, right? I mean, it's a complex thing, wouldn't you say, to get to 400, 500, 600 pounds?
It definitely is, because, again, you think about it from, you know, let's flip it around. I know that, you know, one of the things, and we've spoke about this, where I've never developed, like, the what we call the beer gut. And mm-hmm. I guess maybe that's from the martial arts and, you know, doing the crunchings and all that. And so I always get the, well, Rich, you carry it well. You know, you look good even though you're, and that's the trigger word, even though.
Yes, yes. Know. Yeah.
And yeah. But it also tricks you because after a while, it's not that there's anything wrong. I mean, self-love is definitely one of the most important parts of this journey. But you want to, you know, when somebody keeps telling you you're looking good, you're looking whatever, part of your consciousness wants to stay comfortable. It says, well, they said I look good, so why should I work at this?
Well, you know, the thing, that's just like saying to somebody, well, man, you're handsome. You know, you're fat, but you're handsome. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? For a fat guy or a fat girl, you know, your face is great. So the rest of you, you know, you're just, you know, fat and saying that we can't be, you know, this and telling us that, hey, here you are. And that's the big word. It's like they tell you something, but, oh, you're fat. Right. It's like an underlying thing, wouldn't you say?
It definitely is. And I mean, this may be my own thing, but I know one thing that I used to struggle with was the, how do you say it? The double, what is the word? But either way.
Double entendre?
No, I was thinking more of the when it's like it's okay for women to be heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I'm right there with it. And I love, you know, a little bit of my women. But, you know, for a man, you'd have to look like an Adonis, you know. And I struggled with that a lot, especially being in New York City, because that was the premise. It was always you had to dress a certain way. You had to look a certain way. And if you didn't, you became the spectacle everybody was looking at.
Right. Right. And it was just like a sore thumb sticking out.
Right. I mean, riding the New York City subway alone was, you know, a mental challenge, because I remember, and that tells you it's something that happened within 3 seconds of my life and how it's still in my mind, when I got up from the chair in the subway, and these girls, and I mean, these girls were super skinny, but they made an announcement how the three of them fit into the seat that I was sitting in.
They said that in front of you? I mean, like,
said it out loud in front of probably a full train load of New York City subway riders. And, you know, and it hurt. But again, it was at that point where it was like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. 2 seconds from now, it's gone. But it tells you that here it is almost probably 30, maybe 25 to 30 years later. It's still there. Reminding me
that's
of
right.
that day.
That's right. It's forever scarred. It's like, you know, there's a scar there. You know, it's like there's a piercing there, and then you cover it over, and you can't do anything with it. You know what I mean? It's just like here it is. This is, you know, get over it or do something about it. And then it wouldn't you say, I mean, being extremely obese is very overwhelming.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, it challenges you in everything you do. I mean, a perfect example of this is I have a partner, I like to call him, I would call him a brother that I know in New York City who we trained in martial arts. I mean, every Sunday was a handball day, you know, or we were going out for coffee, or we used to sit on the beach and laugh at ourselves because we'd watch the old people running, jogging by, and we're looking at each other like, yeah, we're good on this bench with the coffee, you know, and he's been in my life forever. And you know, I haven't seen him in a number of years because of the fact that, you know, he lives in New York City. I have to, you know, drive out there, walk, and I feel embarrassed. And then the fact that, you know, we struggle with the fact that, well, if he wants to go eat somewhere, are the chairs, you know, open? Are, you know, if it's only booths, can I get in? You know, there's those struggles. So not even just carrying the weight, but just the social stigma that comes with it. And yeah, I can say I'm pretty mental tough when it comes to that. But it still bothers because it's like, okay, so you want to go eat at this Mexican restaurant. Okay, let me do some research. Let me bring up the pictures of the restaurant. Let me bring up, and I've done this numerous of times.
Yeah, where you're going to sit and everything.
Right. I remember, and I felt embarrassed with this, but I didn't let it bother me, even though the people at the bar decided they wanted to make a spectacle of it. You know, I was, you know, as you know, I'm an aspiring minister with Unity. And I had a friend of mine who wanted me to conduct a memorial service for someone. And he invited me to a restaurant to buy dinner and all that while I discussed with the family what they wanted. And they decided to sit outside. Well, they decided that this restaurant didn't have real chairs. They were using regular porch $15.99 plastic chairs.
Mm.
So here's to your question.
It's a fat man's nightmare.
Exactly. And to your point of where my martial arts training or my athletic training came in, I'm literally sitting in what we would have called a horse stance on that chair. So I'm supporting myself on my legs and my thighs. And they're burning, but I got through the meeting, and I'm like, okay.
How long was the meeting for?
Well, the meeting was supposed to go on through dinner. I actually turned down dinner because I was working overnights, and I had just woken up and gotten to the meeting, and I was like, look, I just got my day started. You know, why don't we just discuss what we need? I got what I need. I'll send you what I have, and then we'll go from there. It was more of an excuse because—
Sure.
There was no way I was going to sit there and have dinner with them and all of that. And they're like, oh, we really want to buy you. And I'm like, look, I appreciate it, but let me go home and get this together for you so I can present you with the ceremony I'm going to do. And if you guys are happy with it. But again, it was my excuse to get away from these chairs.
But how long did you sit there like that?
Probably about an hour.
Really? So you weren't even really, the chair wasn't even supporting you.
Pretty much. I mean, it had its, you know, whatever leaning, but it you could tell. And like I said, you also had the drunk crowd in the corner because it was, like I said, they made it kind of like a hacienda type where the bar's in the center and people making, you know, comments and all that. And it, you know, you notice that when you're at this weight, you become super sensitive to those things because
you do think. Yes.
Yeah, you notice when people are talking and people are like, oh, you're just, and it is. There are times we will come out of our own mind. Our ego will fool us into thinking that everybody's looking at us.
Yes, sir.
But a lot of times we do see those people or we do hear those comments and we try to be, you know, as brave as we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we deal with it and we move on.
Well, and you know, words hurt. I mean, they do. You know what I mean? We say that, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, I think words hurt worse than sticks and stones because, you know, there's things that, you know, like you said, somebody said, you know, years ago to you, you know, still sticks. You still remember it whenever, you know, them the girls on the train, you know, said that, you know, it's things that stick with us and they're to where it's emotional. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the complexity of it, you know, the ups and the downs, the, you know, why is this, you know what I'm saying? The physical, the, you know, the mental, you know, it's all a breakdown to where, okay, here we are, the struggle's real. You know, people don't realize that. Well, it's as simple as, well, you just ate yourself to this. Well, that was part of it, okay? You know, people were abused, abandoned, you know, all these things that happened, you know, death. You know, my dad died when I was 6 years of age. I mean, that was traumatic on me as a 6-year-old. You know, it's like all these things that go into it, Richard, you know, but there's no clear path. And, you know, it's just like, okay, eat less, move more. That's what we talk about, which that's what we want to do is, you know, completely, you know, debunk these myths, you know, kill these stigmas that are going with it and really say, hey, people are prejudiced against it whenever they don't even understand it. And if until you've been there, Richard, nobody truly understands the struggle, because I don't know about you, but, you know, finding a place to sit, you know, the distance on what it goes to. But, you know, after you lose that. So when did you start really, you know, becoming sedentary and losing your mobility? Tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, I guess for me, that was more as, and this is where I guess I started taking my turn toward working with people, especially in the mental aspect of things, is when I moved, my company, the company I worked with, was down about 4 blocks from when 9/11 happened. And when they decided they needed to move the location, they moved to Morristown, New Jersey. And I know there, because in New York, you had to walk. There was no reason for a car. I mean, there was trains, there was buses. In New Jersey, now you had the car, so you were driving everywhere. There wasn't a lot of walking involved. I noticed that started happening. But I think Right. Now it happened to me coming out here in Pennsylvania when the company moved out here. They laid me off. I ended up working for another company now. But again, they're office jobs, so I'm sitting you know, all day in front of a computer. And then life happens. So it's like you're not really going out anymore. You allow the emotional to say, hey, I'd rather, I actually made up a word at one time. I hermitized myself. That's what I called it. I became a hermit, you know, because I didn't want to deal with people. I would go to the spiritual center because that was part of where I was headed. I would come to, you know, go to my job, of course. But that was literally it. I hardly went out. I hardly did anything. Even nowadays, it's still, especially with the COVID-19 going on.
Yep.
You know, I go to work on Sunday because somebody has to mind the building when we have employees in it. But from Monday to Thursday, my job is sitting in front of this computer doing what I need to do. And that's pretty much my life, unless, you know, because even our church ended up closing its doors again. We opened for like 3 weeks and then we had to close again because of the rising numbers here. So all of that, plus, you know, the emotional of beating yourself down and, you know, things not working out. I mean, I had things in my relationship that weren't going great at that point. And again, that was another turning point for me because, you know, my wife is outgoing. She's definitely an extrovert where I'm an introvert. You know, and there was a lot of things going on. So there's a lot of blaming. There's a lot of things. And it wasn't until we realized that we had to take responsibility that things started to change. But like you said, between the weight, between the physical, between the mental, all of that takes its toll. You just want to go hide in a closet.
Yes, you do.
And that's, for me, is where it started, where I wasn't going out. I wasn't really moving. I mean, the only thing I can say is my daughter made, you know, in my life, when I use the word promise, it's do or die.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter made me promise that no matter what my health condition is, no matter what, that I was to show up to her final senior play and I was to show up to her graduation. And I made a promise that I would. And even to go to her play, we're talking about old school, you know, those old wooden theater chairs. I walked in proudly with a church chair in my back and sat on the aisle.
That's awesome, Richard.
And because of COVID, I have to give COVID a thank you. Her graduation had to take place outside, so I was sitting on football bleachers, so I didn't have to worry much.
Nice.
But I was able to walk in.
You did
it. You're right. Mentally, I was able to put aside all my problems and say, I need to get this. I was able to walk in, get to the bleachers, sit there, watch her be there for her graduation, walk back to the car, and get home. So, like I said, you know, that to me was where it started, where, you know, I can walk a distance if I have to, but in the most part, it's kind of, I'm not really as mobile as I should be.
Sure. Well, and I get that. I mean, the knees, you know, we talk about, you know, our backs, you know what I'm saying, our hips. It's bad. And that's what, you know, the obesity revolution, you know, was we're doing is that inspiring other people. And by the way, Richard, as we're, you know, we're closing in, you know, on this podcast, you're an inspiration to me, bro. And I mean, the fact that, you know, what you've done and how you've did that and the grit that you have and the struggles. So what was your, what's your highest weight that you got to?
Like I said, that I know of was about 650, I think 675. And I remember I had to lose, I think it was between 50 and 75 pounds before they would even do the gastric bypass years ago.
And so, so there's a thing, you, and then you had the gastric bypass, which didn't go too well. Just tell us a little bit about that real quick.
Well, as I said, you know, I never really had the gut. Now, I had the fat that was there, but never the gut. And again, my wife will probably tell more of the story, but if, because she had to fill me in. But supposedly when they closed me, they used staples to close me. And one of the staples actually punctured one of the intestines. So where I was supposed to go home in 4 days and recover for a month, now became almost a 3.5 month ordeal. And even then was like, I'm tired of being in this hospital bed.
My,
you know, so it was a nightmare. And then, like I said, because the mental aspect wasn't there, you know, they had you go to a psychiatrist.
Sure, sure, sure. Putting the cart like that, before the horse, you know.
Right.
It shouldn't be our first resort. It could be necessary in some light, but that's the only thing they have to treat obesity. And, you know, and I think that, you know, try everything else. And then, hey, if not, medical intervention's good. But, you know, giving it to us firsthand because we want, you know, to find a way out, you know, the quick fix, which I don't say that, you know, the gastric bypass or the gastric sleeve's a quick fix. But it is in some of us if our mind isn't where it should be. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, you said you 100% because I say it now all the time. I was like, if I lost that 75 to 50 pounds to have the operation, why didn't I just keep going?
Wow. That's a powerful statement right there. Why didn't you just keep going? Man, Richard. And, you know, as we wrap this up, Richard, here's the thing. We were talking last week. And you said something, you know, there's a lot of worry that's going on. You know, we worry about, you know, this, you know, we worry about our health. We worry about all this different things. And you had mentioned, you know, you doing a podcast, which this was like a takeaway that I really want everybody to take away. You said, you know, we talked about worry. We worry about things. And, you know, I say this all the time. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but never gets us anywhere. And then you made a statement. Tell us about what your podcast is and that statement, and then, you know, tell us a little bit about that and why you came up with that.
Definitely. And, you know, as I said earlier, one of the things that I realized in life is that our minds are the most powerful organ we have. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on with the rest of the body. And I realized in my life that I was using a lot of my past to, as an excuse. And one of my mentors used to always say, excuses are the lies that we tell ourselves to never reach our greatness.
Mm. Wow. And, say that again. Say that one more time.
Well, his definition of excuse was the lies we tell ourselves so that we will never reach our greatness.
Dude, that's awesome. So go ahead. I mean, that's powerful. Go ahead.
So the podcast I came up with, it's actually it started as With Every Encounter, but that's the name of the company I'm working on now. And that was based on the fact that everything that happened in our lives had a lesson in it. But I realized that going into coaching, I had to bring that down just a little bit. And what came to me was worry to wow.
Mm.
And where that came from is basically our whole conversation today. You know, the worry of high school, the worry of that, you know, kind of like you. I had my 3-year-old daughter. My wife was pregnant with my next daughter. You know, I can't keep this weight up when I want to be part of their lives.
So I had the gastric bypass.
Yes. So there was always that worry aspect. And then, as I say, we worry about the past, you know, the things we've done. People will say, we worry about the future. What are people going to talk about me? What are they going to do? Can I make this goal? Can I do this? And It's all mental. There's nothing going on.
Mm.
But if we can come into the present moment and say, hey, I'm doing this podcast with Sean today, that's the only thing that counts right now.
Dude.
Is that at this moment, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm hopefully recording this podcast. Well, can I worry if this is going to bless somebody down the road? No, I did the podcast. I'm doing the work. And that's what I wanted to bring in my podcast was that. You know, one of the other things, and I heard this just like 3 days ago, was somebody actually broke out the word denial to doesn't even know that I'm lying.
Wow.
You know, and I realized, and it hit me too, because it's like, you know, we sit there and we worry about it.
Doesn't even know that I'm lying.
Yep. So when we deny ourselves that what's actually happening.
That's good,
in our
Richard.
Lives,
dude. Bro, oh my goodness. So what we're doing is this weight loss journey, you know, the worries that came with our childhood, the worries with, you know, being morbidly obese, extremely obese, all these things, you know, the high school thing, you know, this, where we sit, where we go, we worry, you know, about where we're going to sit. We worry about where, you know, where, how far it's going to be. We worry about, you know, us being in here, you know, how we're going to get sick, our knee, if, you know, we have all these worries. But what we want to do and what you want to take us to and your big statement is, let's go from our weight loss. Let's go from worry to, wow, we got this. We can do this and get our mindset wild, you know, get everything to go and let that wow take over the worry.
That's correct.
Whoa. Man, Richard, dude, this is, I mean, I'm so glad I'm on this journey with you, bro. I really, really am. I mean, we came together for such a time as this. I'm glad you're a Tor VIP member. I'm glad you're my friend. And I'm glad we're going to do this. We're going from worry to wow. We're going to wow everything and say, you know, together we can do this. And, you know, that's what you know, team is. Together, everyone achieves more. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, denial is doesn't even know that we're lying. I mean, come on. This is powerful. And so here's the thing. Final thought to everybody out there. What would you say to somebody that needs to start their journey? Maybe they're not, you know, quite where we are, where we were. But what would you say to everybody out there?
I would say the same thing. I say, you know, drop the denial. Drop the excuses. Look at yourself in the mirror. It's not going to lie to you. You know, I say it all the time. Sometimes you lay in bed and you think your body, your mind wants to say, no, you're sexy enough, until you look in the mirror and then you get that disappointment like, wow, look at where I'm at. You know, don't be afraid. Just let it go. At that moment, make a decision, take the step. You know, Martin Luther King says it all the time. You don't have to see the top of the stairs to know that you have to take that first step.
Yes.
So that to me was what I'll drop down, is that take that first step, even if you don't, and don't worry about the failure. I mean, the most successful people have failed over and over and over again. So just get
failure
started.
Fail your way to success.
Yep.
Man, and that's what we're going to do. We are taking you. You listen to this full thing. We're going from worry to wow, and it's going to change your life. And Richard, listen to me. Thanks for being on here, man. You crushed it. And I mean, seriously, I mean, you left some serious gold nuggets, man. And I'm thankful for you, bro.
Well, I definitely appreciate the invitation and I enjoyed it. And like I said, I'm thankful for you, because there's not a lot of people who have gone out and done this or are willing to put themselves out there so that other people can see the journey and know that they're not alone in this journey.
Wow. Well, Richard, thank you. We're at the end of this episode, but listen, on behalf of me and the Obesity Revolution, listen to me. If you think you can't go from worry to wow, you can get your mindset, you know, quit being in denial, take that first step, like Richard said, because that's what the 21-day challenge, do them small steps, you know, get your mind in shape or your body's never going to get in shape. You can't get your body in shape first, but like I said, we're the Obesity Revolution. Go to theobesityrevolution.com, and we will give you the tools and resources necessary to get you where you need to go. And until next time, get healthy and stay healthy, and don't let anybody ever tell you that your obesity to find you, because it doesn't. You can do what you want and stand where you're at and lift where you're standing, because we got this.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.